Last weekend, I was down in San Diego attending the graduation from university for my niece. And then the day before yesterday, we had Holy Spirit School graduation here. And my nephew graduated from eighth grade. And there's all these graduations, whether they're from elementary or middle school or high school or college. There's this sort of graduation season. It's just a kind of a constant flow. And it's funny, in all of these, there's kind of great excitement and energy. And if you talk to these young people experiencing this, while they have that excitement and energy, they're also a little anxious and can be a little bit sort of in trepidation of what's ahead. They don't quite know. And it's like, you know, one door closes and another door opens. And, they're at this transition point, this pivot point between two things. Something that was known and something now that is not completely fully known. It's that very sense that we celebrate today, this feast of the Ascension. For the apostles and the disciples are at that very same sort of pivot point. There's a transition. You know, there was once Christ has died, he was risen from the dead, they've experienced him in the risen form, and they've been excited and joyful, but now he's gone. And while they're excited and joyful because he's got this promise from the Father that he said that the Father will fulfill, you can sense the energy. They go back to Jerusalem excited and energized, but soon we'll know how anxious they get because the future is somewhat unknown. And in that space is a real powerful opportunity. And the opportunity, we just have to dig a little deeper to know what it is that we are going through, because all of us go through transitions. They can be major or they can be minor, but we all go through transitions in life. And in a sense, the disciples' journey is one of continuous sort of transitions from one thing to another. And so, in a sense, as disciples, we really want to master this transition period, because it can call us to wonderful growth. What happens? Let's just explore for a moment. It's a uniquely individual experience. I mean, you can talk to one student to another, and they can be two students in the same class, but they experience the transition completely different, even if they're going to the same school. One is anxious, one is nervous, the other one's excited, and it's a uniquely individual experience. And in that individual experience, it feels quite lonely, because one experiences it in that sense, it's just me. Nobody else, yeah, they're going to the same school, but we're all individual. You see, Henry Nouwen speaks about how we can transition loneliness into solitude. And solitude becomes a powerful place of ministry, of discipleship. Let me explain a little bit. See, his version of solitude is not what we think today. When we think of solitude today in our secular world, it's a place of withdrawal. We pull back into ourselves. It's a very private experience. It's one of where I, you know, kind of like if you were a way station, we recharge our batteries. It's a place where I don't have to be bothered by anybody. So I withdraw from everybody to not be bothered by them so I can recharge my batteries. And that's not a bad thing, but it's not what Henry Nouwen or what the saints, ancient saints understood as solitude. You see, in a sense, that sort of solitude is, if you imagine for a moment, the life is like a boxing ring, right? You retreat. So in this case, solitude is retreating to your corner so that somebody could oil up your muscles and you get relaxed and you get ready to go back into the ring of life to start fighting again. That's not the solitude that Henry Nouwen is referring to. Henry Nouwen is referring to a different form of solitude. It's not a therapeutic private moment, but it's actually a place of conversion. That we go, and into this, it's not so much a treating of one's wounds is there's a complete letting go of an old self. Acknowledging that this transition is one of which I let go of the past and I embrace a new self, maybe unknown yet, this new self. But to embrace this new possibility that the Lord has a gift for me to present to me. It's a place of conversion. Now, if we could only look at all our moments of transition as places of conversion, then we would model for our children how to handle these important moments in their lives. Instead of getting anxious, that they would welcome and embrace this as a moment of self-growth in Christ. Now, that's self-growth like the way the world talks about, but a growth in Christ that we go deeper with Christ because we let go of something to receive something. In that sense, we go with open hands. Closed hands cannot receive something new. So we have to let go to receive what the Lord has in store for us. Now, why is that so important for us? Well, in a sense, every day can be a transition if we allow it. We let go of what has hurt us yesterday or last week, and we can embrace the Spirit that the Lord promises to deliver to us and impart to our hearts, a new self, a new opportunity, a new way to grow. But the only way in which we can do that is to let go of the old self so that we can receive the new self. And that is hard, hard work. Why? Because, well, we've grown accustomed to ourselves in our old ways. We get very comfortable in saying and doing the things that we do. And to embrace newness, we have to let that comfort go. So I don't know what transitions all of you are in, but I know many of you are in the midst of transitions. And so the Lord is inviting all of us into a place of deep solitude. Not a place of loneliness. Not a place of recharging the batteries or into the corner to get our wounds baited. But instead, a deeper solitude where we rest in the Lord. Let go of the past to embrace a present and a future that we do not know what it holds, but one that we know will be full of grace and full of blessing, and most of all, full of joy. So we come to the table today to receive that gift by receiving Christ once more.